Welcome to Crypto Talk Radio, the podcast for everyday investors like you. Visit us on the web at cryptotalkradio.net. And now, here's your host, Leister.
Thank you for that, Bailey, and welcome everybody out there in Crypto Talk Radio, found at cryptotalkradio.net. Allergies are starting to attack, ladies and gentlemen, so I'm not sure how that affects the episode. I don't think it does, but I'm running out of my bulk box of tissues. Again, it's frustrating. The only thing that changed was I ran the furnace because it was freaking cold this morning. Ran the furnace. Next thing I know, everything was set off. So I don't know what that's all about. Separate, there's some good news, though. Good news. So, squirrel season, okay? Number 9. 9 squirrels taken out by this amazing trap. I had to kind of secure it. But the downside is today I noticed there's at least 3 other ones that were running around. And they were avoiding the trap. And I think it's just for territorial reasons. And then I noticed one, he was digging in the far side of the yard. It was a point of the yard I didn't care about, but still, it's the principle of the thing. You know, it's principalities-ness. So I set up a trap, and this is over in the forested area behind my home, set up a trap over there. And I've got a camera trained on that so I can just keep an eye on, see if I can catch that guy. And then I did confirm the cat is quick. He basically waits somewhere, or she waits somewhere for me to take the squirrel out. Set the squirrel off in the little back area. Cat swoops in, and first thing, and this will get a little bit gory. I'll try not to go too deep, but basically goes straight for the jugular, as it was. Goes straight for the jugular. There was one still in the trap, but big gash right in its neck. And I knew it was the cat, just chewing and eating away at these rodents, because they're rodents is what they are. So I'm doing a service. You know, this is a stray cat. The stray cat's getting fed. I'm getting what I want, which is my lawn left alone for a change and not dug in. I know it's getting close to winter. I know that's why they're starting to ramp up again, and I need to make sure to get these guys taken out. I don't care if they go to the neighbors, but the neighbors' yards are so much garbage. They're attacking mine because mine looks on fleek, as the kids used to say. So it's kind of a duty. It's kind of an honor for me to have the nicest lawns on the street, but I can't maintain that as long as these, I almost swore, jack-offs are running around. So that's my situation. And separately, I've been watching, you know, I gave a couple of channels that I am a fan of that I would recommend. One I would certainly recommend is Adam Coins. I think highly of his analysis. I don't like the short length. I hate that. But his analysis is really good. I think he does a great job of reading the charts. He's starting to get into paid service, which I understand. He's got to hustle, but I'm disappointed because I wish he would just go longer on the existing stuff he's doing. I like Happy Caddy. It's just I don't like his format change. He's started to commercialize it. He's starting to talk about more stuff, and I'm not really a fan of that. And some of the other ones. Crypto J, who I also did an out of cycle about on the YouTube side. So I think it was only YouTube side. I was covering about, he did something on Blockdag, and I wasn't criticizing him. It was just, he was using AI, and it's like, come on, you have good information. Don't use that garbage, you know? Well, he's disappeared. He's nowhere to be seen. All of his stuff is deleted. I hope I was not a contributing factor to that decision. I doubt it. But he's gone. And apparently some of these other ones from the Satama days are still floating around. I don't watch or follow any of those. And I have a plugin in the browser that blocks channels. So if it's one where they're doing, you know, the shocked face up of the thing or that garbage, I block those. And plus I have another thumbnail altering plugin, and it changes away the triggering plugin, you know, thumbnails to where it's the regular video instead of the false, you know, clickbait type thumbnail. It gets rid of those. It gets rid of the all caps. So I have a pretty, as a result, you know, I don't attach to YouTube at all. I hardly ever look at it, except if I'm looking at, you know, like new edition videos or old school interviews, that kind of stuff. Recently, I was watching some coverage from some of the artists from Diddy, just for giggles and laughs, and Vlad TV, some of his old stuff. Other than that, I don't stay on that. I don't even have TV. I don't have cable. I don't do any of this stuff. I'll watch like highlights from WWE, you know, Liv Morgan. I'm sorry. I've been a fan of her since she first debuted, and now she's killing it. And Dominic, I'm not a fan of, but I'm not supposed to be, right? But Liv Morgan's been killing it, so I'll watch her snippets of stuff. If it's The Rock, I'll watch his snippets of stuff. Other than that, I'm like, I'm good on it. So why did I tell you all that? Well, I told you all that so you understand. I have a life away from cryptocurrency, and I would hope that you do too. I would hope that you do something else other than stare at this garbage, because that's what it is right now. and for the foreseeable future, because there's a lot of attacks happening to cryptocurrency. Some of them will die off, but the vast majority will persist. And I think it's important you have a life outside of cryptocurrency with your family, with your TV, with your computer, with your J-O-B, or whatever it is that, you know, moves you forward. I don't want you to be stuck on this stuff. So I'll talk about it, but hopefully I'm inspiring you to have a life outside of this cryptocurrency garbage. Coindesk.com, and we're going to zoom out to the month chart. We're going to start with Bitcoin for one main reason. That is that Bitcoin is the only thing that's really moving in a strong positive direction. However, that changed. And so I wanted to talk about it first. On the month chart, Bitcoin had a high of 63.1, a low of 61.8, just shy of 62,000, hovering around the 62,000 mark as I record this. And the 62,000 mark is, of course, what Leister at CryptoTalk.fm told you was likely going to happen next. I then said we should go a little bit back up, and we did go a slight bit back up, but it suppressed back down. The lack of motion of Ethereum told me that Bitcoin wasn't going to go too far. Now, I don't know exactly what that means. I do think that big picture, everything's fine, but I can understand how people might be a little bit frustrated at what's happening and the fact that it seems like none of these are running like you expect them to. This, what they call it, Uptober and all this garbage that, you know, they're just fabricated words. And I also speculated some of this might simply be strategic. They might be doing these run-up temptation type of posts and temptation types of articles, and the YouTubers telling you we're going to go up. It's kind of psychological, right? It's a trick to tell you we're going to go up to inspire you to buy in there and help trigger some of that run-up. Because if you think about some of these that have hundreds of thousands of subs, or some of these that have millions of subs, or some of these girls selling ass for crypto, and they have millions of subs of simps watching their channel, and they might encourage a run-up. Well, what does that likely lend itself to? A pump and dump. I'm not suggesting that they are the ones doing the pump and dump. I'm saying that there's a lot of chatter around from people that say we're going up, where I don't see the same that everybody else is. But see, I don't make money on crypto, right? I don't actively pursue money on crypto, is better stated. I make money on my side gig. I actually just got paid again. So I make money on the side business, and I make a decent, pretty good amount of money, to the point I've been able to do home repairs and home improvements and all that stuff, and chat with you guys. Everything I do is self-paid. You know, I don't need to, you know, grift people online. You know, I watched some people chatting about cryptocurrencies, various cryptocurrencies, to the point, you know, over years, where it's like there's nothing here, and yet it gets, you know, from Meta Bull Runs to freaking Shinja to Satamas to Cult and everything in between. And no matter what, they all seem to have turned out the same way, which is basically a bunch of people telling you it's going to go up, likely to inspire you to buy into it. I was watching one of the older videos. This is on Bleav's channel. I was watching one of the older videos, and it was talking about Volt and the fact that at a point, Rodney was enticed to get in by the community, only to essentially dump out of it. I was talking about this, what was that other garbage? Apollo Crypto DAO, which used to be Apollo Inu, and Hinock was shilling that one to the moon, and then allegedly he dumped out of it and moved on to something else. Like, this is a pattern. It's a predictable pattern where you can see they're going to do the same thing, which they'll tell you, let's get into this one. It's going to go to the moon, deep, deep, deep. And then they might be a strong backer. They put a lot of money in, but at some point they dump out because they're moving on to something else. All of them do the same thing. There's no loyalty to specific projects. There's always profit motivation. There's always, I don't even want to say greed for everybody, but certainly greed plays a factor. You are wanting to get a strong return off of these things. There's nothing wrong with wanting to make some money. And I want to stress that. So when I looked at Bitcoin not moving, it got me asking the question, if we take on face that people are essentially profit motivated and they want to make some money, what is the logical result that we should expect? We should not expect it to go up. We should expect it to go down. Why? Because if it goes down, it tells us people are taking profits off of the run-up that happened that people said wasn't going to happen just a long time ago. So if people are taking profits off of it, we expect that the price is going to go down a little bit, but we know that people are enticing things to go up. They're stressing that it should go up. Everything says it's positioned to go up. What does that tell us? That tells us there's going to be some upward climb, but it's likely not going to be sustained. You have a war. a tug of war between the people who are trying to make it go up and the people who are selling for profit. We are going to experience such a tug of war for the foreseeable future. Remember, Bitcoin's all-time high right now, I believe, got up to $72,000-ish. So we're not even at its all-time high, but at least we're not half off like Ethereum did. Ethereum is still roughly half of its prior all-time high. I think a little bit short of half of its all-time high. And over the past 24 hours, it only shifted $60, currently hovering around $2,400. No movement whatsoever for Ethereum. Now, part of this, I think, is some sell pressure, but part of it I also think is volume, a lower volume that is present on Ethereum. Now, if we say Bitcoin has the lion's share of volume right now, which it seems to be the case, what do you think is likely to happen when Bitcoin goes up? Beyond the selling for profits that we expect, there should be money flowing into the Ethereum side and the other tokens, coins, Avalanche and Tron and Cardano and Solana. And we expect that money should flow that direction, even if it's a small percentage of that money. We also expect that some of these other countries that banned cryptocurrency at some point will remove the ban and allow freedom of trade. We can't say for sure, but this is our expectation that this should happen. If it does happen, what do you think would happen? We think that it should go up. How high should it go up? There's a bunch of numbers being thrown around. People talking about $100,000, $1 million Bitcoin, and everything in between. I am not as, I'll say, bullish on Bitcoin as some of the others, because Bitcoin is starting to get a little bit too centralized for my taste. Centralized in the form of who owns it, who has access to it. And that would allow them to do what? Influence price. That might be bullish for others that are holding Bitcoin. But remember, the regular investor is not going to be holding more than one Bitcoin at a time, simply because it doesn't make any sense at the current prices. Hopefully, there are people listening to me that way back when Bitcoin dropped as low as $12,000, you were able to stack a significant amount of it so you could have it for these moments where you could sell and make a lot of money on Bitcoin's run-up. If you didn't, don't worry about it, because you can always stack more, get more as these various waves up and down happen. This is referred to as the DCA strategy that I keep talking about. Speaking about the DCA strategy, Kraken and management personnel, let's say at Kraken, people, individual people, not the company, individual people at Kraken have been echoing what Leister was telling you was the truth for the whole time, which is that they see that the vast majority of traders, smart traders, are doing DCA strategies, but they targeted one population in particular. They came up with some stats that to me make common sense, but to you might seem kind of stupid. What they said is that the lower income people, they're gamblers. They want to roll the dice and hope something cracks. They're not into DCAs because they've been conditioned to believe that every single of these garbage tokens is going to make them a millionaire overnight because of stories of SHIB and Doge. Whereas the higher income people, defined as anybody making over $150,000 a year, is more likely to do DCA strategies and preserve wealth, but also preserve value and insulate from risk. Well, that's kind of, again, it makes perfect sense to me, but it might be contradictory to you. Why would a person who has all the money in the world care about risk? Why would somebody who's lower income want to be a gambler? Because that's the psychological trick. This is what I've been telling you. This is what I've been telling you for a long time that others do not tell you. The reason that my channel is so rich in content is because I tell you these things. I tell you, bottom line, I decided to go my own way and make my own money and not depend on cryptocurrency, not charge for the podcast at CryptoTalk.fm, not charge for the content that I distribute on the podcast, not do ads that I control, at least on YouTube. The reason that I did those things is because my nest egg should support me and not the fickleness of cryptocurrency. That rhymes. Well, the lower income then, why are they gamblers? Because they're desperate. They want to get out of the hole. They want to have a better life. Everybody who's low income wants to be a better positioned person. They don't want to be stuck in the same trap that they've been in for however many years. I speak from direct experience. There was a point where I was almost homeless, and I had those brief flashy moments where I was throwing money at garbage, and I recommended a couple of friends to buy into something that turned out to be garbage. I didn't know it at the time. But there was a desperation and an opportunity, and I saw run-ups. I certainly made profit, but nowhere near what I could and should have. Now, part of that wasn't my fault. During the run-ups we saw in 2021, what was the biggest holdback to anybody making any real good money? Gas fees, especially on the Ethereum chain.
The Ethereum's gas fees were out of whack. I was doing trades and they were trying to charge me over $100 to do a trade, and I wasn't going to do it because I'm only trading a couple hundred bucks per trade. It didn't make any sense. But I was low income. I didn't have a significant amount of money to where I was penny pinching, but it was into a token that ultimately was a casino. And that token turned out to be crap, but I made some money off of it. Eventually, it took a while. When I recommended it to a friend, it's because I thought that it was going to go somewhere, at least in the short term. And I did tell that person, please don't toss that whole $1,000 at this. Please don't do that. Pick multiple different things, because if you toss into this one, I can't tell you what's going to happen. And I called that spot on. That was Satama, by the way, for those curious, aka Cytochain. Now, it had a run up and then it crapped. Well, during the time that it was running up, I didn't have anywhere near the money I had now. If we were in the situation for any token, and I'll be talking about one or two here in a second, if we were in a situation similar to Saitama's run-up, now with the money I have sitting in a bank account, I'd be a millionaire. I would still be doing the show. I would still be talking to you guys. I would still be sharing information. I would still be doing one-on-ones because I enjoy doing it. That's what separates people like myself from everybody else doing it. And the reason that I stand alone on the podcast charts, because at the end of the day, I am not trying to get profit out of anybody here. I'm not trying to get money out of you. If you choose to tip, you choose to tip. I don't even talk about the tip jar that I actually had to refresh where the heck I put the darn thing. I'm not trying to get money out of you. Most of people online, they're trying to get money out of you indirectly. Some are Patreon, super chats, yes, but most are trying to do it indirectly. Ads and, you know, referrals and referral links and all these things that they do. And I don't knock their hustle, or girls selling ass because they attract simps. And I don't knock the hustle. I'm just simply saying I don't do it. Well, I talked about the DCA strategy because as somebody who is in that higher income threshold, I understood that the DCA strategy is the safest bet to accumulate. It also is a strong strategy when you are low income because it means that you don't have to commit yourself to more than what you can truly afford. If you know that you got 50 bucks free this time and that's all you got, the best thing you could do is take that 50 bucks and toss it into one of these tokens, like, or coins even, like say Tron, for example, or something that you know is going to minimum double, right? And that's double what you had. Think about where your money is best used. If you're just focusing on the garbage and you're focusing on the gambling, I can't tell you what to do with your money. I'm saying that I will recommend and always advocate for looking at every dollar that you choose to put into cryptocurrency, if you choose to do so, should go to tokens and coins, both, that are unlikely to rip you off. That's a very slim number, but they're out there. And you can do DCA to accumulate more during these tumultuous periods, which is what I'm advocating that you do. If you don't take the advice, that's up to you. That rhymes. So, when Kraken put this out, it didn't surprise me. It didn't surprise me that the low-income people are essentially gamblers and the higher-income ones are the smart investors that are trying to protect their investment. They don't want to do heavy risk. It doesn't mean that we don't do risk sometimes. There are times I dumped, you know, over $10,000 into a project, but that was because I was trying to help it. I figured there was opportunity there. It was a good contract. It looked like a good community. The dev abandoned it, so I couldn't save it. Without the dev putting work in, there's nothing I could do to save it. It wasn't a money issue. It's a sentiment issue. Okay. So there's those, but I wasn't worried about it. It was money I could afford to lose for one project that I thought had some potential to try to help it out. And then, okay, I can't help it any further. There's nothing I can do. So I'll just walk away. I always look for those projects too. Ones where I think I can help make a difference and help run and hold the floor long enough for it to get to the point that I can take back my initial investment without damaging the project. That's always something I look for, but I just never find it because most of the ones, by the time I get involved, they've already done the pump and dump, or they're already at the unreasonable climb or unreasonable APYs or whatever it is that they're pitching and shilling. So for me, I'll repeat, a DCA strategy is the strongest thing I think you can do, especially if you're lower income, because I believe it's the best use of your money. But you are, again, free to completely ignore what Leister says to you. Have you heard of Mudang? I hadn't, and I wish I hadn't. Mudang is a meme coin, but it's also a hippo. It's a baby hippo out of Hong Kong, I believe it is. Or no, Thailand. It's Thailand. Mudang. So this is a token. It had a drop, and then they pulled the SHIB garbage where they sent money to the idiot Vitalik. They sent a bunch of tokens to him. 10% of supply. He sold basically 1% of the supply, and he did to the charity. And they're celebrating the fact that he did to the charity. What these tokens don't understand is they really need to stop sending idiot Vitalik a bunch of tokens, especially when he's shown a pattern of dumping on your head. It doesn't matter what you use the money for. When there's these dumps, you're damaging the project's long-term potential. You cannot use SHIB as an example because SHIB stood alone at the time. We are now in a crowded space. It's a different environment. You can't pull that garbage off anymore, and so you should stop doing it. Survive on your own. Don't give your tokens to somebody who's going to dump on your head. And I don't know how many times I have to keep repeating this, but it keeps freaking happening. So if you're not in Mudang, it's right at the pump phase right now. If you get in, and I'm not telling you to, I'm not telling you not to. I'm telling you if you get in, it's a strong probability you're going to get dumped on. Not even by an idiot. Could be by a bunch of people that are selling out of whatever they did when they launched the damn thing. It's going to dump. We're about to hit that dump phase. It's not hit the dump phase. That is almost guaranteed to happen. It's up to you what you choose to do. I am not here to advocate or dismiss any token project. I'm simply talking about idiot Vitalik, you know, dumping on people's heads once again, because I'm tired of seeing it happen and I wish it would calm down, because it gives a black eye to cryptocurrency. Speaking of black eyes to cryptocurrency, the SEC sent a Wells notice to crypto.com. A Wells notice is advance notification that there plans to be some sort of enforcement action taken against the recipient. In this case, crypto.com is the recipient of the Wells notice, one of the United States are allegedly compliant exchanges. So now we've got Kraken, who bowed down to the master. We got Coinbase. We got crypto.com and all these ones that, and Robinhood, and all these ones that are the friendliest to the United States traders. They've done everything they can to try to comply with what the SEC wants, including delisting a lot of the garbage tokens, preventing you from trading garbage, even if they do have it on the exchange, et cetera, and so on, only to have the SEC still go after them. This is the reason why I don't like them bowing down, and I wish they would fight, because they don't understand that no matter how compliant you think you are, they're going to come after you anyway. Crypto.com took a different stance. They took that Wells notice and said, fine, we're going to sue you motherfathers in response, because we need regulatory clarity. We need to fix this, and we're tired of all this attack that you're doing against people. So Crypto.com files their lawsuit. It's under a company brand, so it's under a company specifically. Derivatives North America is the name of the company. And what they're asking is to say, we want to understand who runs this, okay? Does the SEC run this or the CFTC run this? Because we think that the CFTC runs this. Quote, we believe that security and compliance are the foundations of achieving mainstream cryptocurrency adoption. We seek to stop the SEC's illegal actions in excess of their authority and in violation of federal law in their tracks. Let me break down what the beef is. It's something I've talked about multiple times who many other people online said I didn't know what I was talking about. And then now they see I was telling the truth and I'm not freaking Nostradamus. It was obvious. The big beef that SEC has always had is around staking rewards. What you get, the return, the benefit, the financial gain behind staking. But it's not that simple. What they have a big problem with is the reuse of certain assets when they are staked by a middleman. So they don't care about staking that takes place where you still control the assets. It still shows up in your wallet and you're staking, like say Luna Classic's business, where it's you can stake it in your wallet, you're staking with a validator directly. And so there's not really a middleman other than the validator, but the validator, you're authorizing them to use the funds. You do get a reward, but there's no reuse of those assets beyond the staking. In most of the centralized exchanges, if not all, when they offer these staking and staking rewards, Coinbase was notorious for this. You're providing your cryptocurrency to them. They then make those cryptocurrencies available for others to do margin trades, as well as other types of investments where your tokens are used as backing liquidity for those trades. That's what the SEC has a beef with. They have, and they talked about this on three occasions. They have a beef when your tokens, it's not just a decentralized transaction. There's a middleman company or organization who is in some way financially benefiting from the staking privilege, even if they're giving you a benefit, a kickback or something else, there's somebody else that's financially benefiting on you providing the token such that it's no longer your token set. Well, if you think about that, that means that pretty much every cryptocurrency central exchange you can think of is going to be under the radar of the SEC, and rightfully so, because not your keys, not your coins. In the terms that you should be reading when you create the account at these sites, they straight tell you, you don't own these tokens. We have control of the tokens on your behalf. We are the custodian of the tokens on your behalf. And as custodian, we reserve the right to use them. So that piece, that's what they have a beef with. They don't care nearly as much if there's not a middle company in play. This is why they went after Uniswap at that point way back, because Uniswap is a company behind the damn thing. When they say, yeah, anybody could trade on this, but yet Hex got delisted on Uniswap. If it's truly decentralized, who delisted it? We know what the game is. There's a company there who is financially benefiting off the transactions that you do. As a result, the SEC sees that this entity is getting enriched on something they're not entitled to get enriched on, and you are getting a pittance handed over to you. So just to be clear, staking is the core that they look at, but they also want to understand what's happening with the staked assets. What's really the game? Are we truly securing the chain, or are we providing those assets to somebody else to do a margin trade and then they're financially benefiting? Well, if that person or entity makes $1,000 on the market or the margin trade, and then you're getting a little pittance of $5. Is that fair to you? You might say yes, because it's whatever. They got lucky. They rolled the dice and they got lucky. But the SEC doesn't see it that way. They see it as unequal. It's not equal or fair to you that you should submit your cryptocurrency, lose control and lose custody of it, only to be handed a pittance while other people are getting fat off the hog. So it changes the game. It changes the conversation. And I hope that's clear about why this is significant with crypto.com, because they offer all sorts of staking stuff going on, as do many of the central exchanges. And this is why we need regulatory clarity about what is really staking and define it better. There's staking on the centralized exchanges. There's staking directly with validators on the DCEN side. We have to clarify the types of staking and whether or not those tokens are reused for some other purpose that enriches somebody else. And then we will get to a more calm state. Until that happens, people are going to continue staking. It doesn't really matter. But what could happen is you lose your assets if they happen to get seized by a government entity. And that's the cautionary tale I'm sharing with you here today. In closing and in summary, I think we have a long way to go. As an organization, cryptocurrency, we have a long way to go. There's a lot of sketchy business, a lot of shady business, and none of these U.S. exchanges are safe. None of them are safe. They're all getting attacked. We can only hope that they all win, but that's going to be a long ways away. The appeal with the XRP business, we got to see what's going to happen there. And I'm going to stress to you, Kamala Harris does not support cryptocurrency. No matter what she says, she doesn't, because she hasn't, because Biden didn't. And she just went on The View and said, I support everything that Biden was doing. Okay, well, that means she supports a lockdown and an attack on cryptocurrency. I would hope that some of these messages she's sharing to you tells you what I've been saying. She is anti-cryptocurrency. It's fine if you support her. Just understand what it means. It means you will not have successful cryptocurrency adoption because she doesn't want it, because she just said she supports everything Biden had done, which includes an attack on cryptocurrency. Meanwhile, Donald Trump and his kids are out here going YOLO on cryptocurrency like I've never seen before, making payments on stakes and whatever with cryptocurrency, setting up this world, whatever financial and cryptocurrency. All these NFTs are kind of bigly. His freaking wife, they've gone all in on this. So it's a clear picture. And I said that this is the decider for this election. It's not the other issues, because the other issues are effectively state issues. Cryptocurrency acceptance, cryptocurrency tolerance, cryptocurrency adoption is a federal issue, only because you can't leave it to the states because it's too pocketed. These exchanges are not going to comply with 51 different regulatory standards. They want one standard and one approach that allows them to use this stuff. And I assure you, if we get that regulatory clarity, you are going to see cryptocurrency skyrocket. It's a guarantee. The worst you could do is stack now, because either way, if you stack now, there's going to be run-ups. If it goes underground, because Kamala's attacking it again, it's going to have run-ups on the underground. They're not going to come after you. They're going to go after the distributors. You're still going to be able to transact it. It just may be an underground transaction, and the descent has been largely left alone. If Trump gets elected, you're going to see crypto going to run simply because it's him, and he has been embracing a cryptocurrency. You really can't lose this time. I'm simply saying, if you want real adoption, Kamala Harris isn't the answer based on the messages she just said. And all these exchanges that we see getting attacked are going to keep on getting attacked because she just said that's what she supports. Okay, then let's watch her act and let's see if she does what she says. Because think about it, her saying that she supports those attacks, let's say she does get elected and she doesn't do the attacks, that makes her a hypocrite. And you just put a hypocrite in office again, which might be 4 more years of nonsense because you just elected a hypocrite. Like, she is the underdog and she doesn't understand that. Trump is ahead only because he's saying the right things at the right time for the right reasons, which is a shift. It's a mind shift. And understandably, people are nervous and sketchy because they don't know what that means. I'm simply telling you the simple line about the economy is going to be in danger if we don't adopt cryptocurrency because it's the only way to alleviate money from the wealthy down to the non-wealthy, because that's how you do that exchange of wealth willingly. So if they buy in it and you get some early and you sell out, it's a shift of wealth down to you that benefits you. That's what you should want. If you don't welcome it, great. But I think everybody listening to me welcomes that future, that potential future. And I'm describing that future can only happen with one of the two candidates we got on the deck.